as crazy as it sounds, comfort is an enemy. Because when you're comfortable, you relax. And when you relax, you're not hungry for growth. And comfort and feeling good is in a way being weaponized today to almost keep you in check. It keeps you unsuccessful in reaching your goals and bettering yourself so that you stay needy on others and you require the help consistently of others or even governments. Today, we see a world that's creating safe spaces for feelings and for emotions, and we're constantly being told to embrace and nurture those emotions. But is that really working? I'm not so sure, especially when I look at what's going on in society today. We need to learn to embrace the difficult. The difficult will become a catalyst to your growth. Don't just learn to deal with being in a difficult situation. It's time to actually seek it out.
So the giant question is this: how do we as parents, teachers, school administrators, policymakers, coaches, how do we prepare our kids for a future that doesn't yet exist? All while making them healthier, more creative, more innovative, better problem solvers, and overall successful contributors to society. That is the question, and this podcast has the answers. My name is Coach Mike, and welcome to the MindFit Method Podcast.
So while embracing the difficult sounds like something that is very counterintuitive to what we are taught today, it's honestly so, so important. Because our world today, we've kind of engaged in like a never-ending quest of trying to be stress-free, easy-spirited, a very soft society. And it's our belief in so many ways that if we can just feel good about ourselves without putting the effort in to do so, that our lives will be better. And very honestly, this is clearly not working. People today are more stressed than ever. They're more frustrated than ever. They're less resilient than ever. They're more triggered than ever. So this whole idea of living in a stress-free and easy-spirited environment is actually almost like creating the opposite effect of what we're looking for. And a lot of this really comes down to digital media, social media, streaming, the amount of time that we're spending on technology. And in a way, it's actually being weaponized to almost put us in this state of like numb bliss, right? And it's what causes us to scroll on Instagram for hours without any sense of time. It's what causes us to, you know, binge entire series of Netflix shows. It's scary, honestly, because what's happening is we're looking to like create a bubble around us that really blocks out all of the things that could hurt us. But that bubble isn't blocking out the things that could hurt us. That bubble's actually keeping in the things that are affecting our mindset in a very different way. And look, your mind is an incredibly powerful weapon, right? It's the most powerful weapon you will ever have. It's the most powerful thing that you have to be able to achieve what really looks like the impossible. But it's a weapon that can either be used to slay your goals, or it's a weapon that can be used to destroy your own mindset. Your mind can destroy your own mindset. And which totally at that point destroys all your productivity, all your progress, all your growth, all of it. And you know, in a previous episode, I kind of discussed how we've lost our resiliency. And that loss of being resilient is due to the change that's, you know, really biochemical in our brain. The constant overabundance of dopamine inducing activities has made us want to like incessantly feel good. We have to have this feeling of euphoria all the time, but we're never actually achieving anything to cause that true feeling of accomplishment and euphoria. And when we don't embrace the difficult, we're not only beginning to like tread water in our own growth, we actually start to go backwards. And this isn't just, you know, people saying, oh, if you don't grow, then you're going backwards. This is actual science that's learning some of the effects that digital addiction is having on our brain. Because studies are coming out now that are showing an actual decline in the gray matter of our brains due to digital addictions like TikTok, like Instagram, like YouTube. It's reducing our mental capacity, which sounds insane that something that we're doing is actually having that type of a negative effect on the gray matter in our brain, but studies again and again and again are showing that that is the fact. But think about it for a second, right? The things that make us feel good through dopamine releases that are actually causing a mental decline due to a true lack of hardship is because we're not being presented with the difficult. We're not being presented with situations that we have to think our way through, fight our way through physically, whatever it may be. We're not going there. And you know, use this example, right? So let's look at this example for our body. So when we watch social media for long periods of time, especially if we're using it to try to get motivated or to see what other people have or how we need to keep up with the Joneses or whatever that is, you know, we look at all these things, but we don't actually take action. Or if we do, it's extremely minimal action. And today, minimal action is actually learning, right? It is so easy to learn today. You can learn anything in a short amount of time for free at home, due to all the information that's on the internet. But we are learning so much and not acting on that learning, we're not actually accomplishing anything. Now imagine if you did the exact same thing with your body. So imagine if you picked up 2-pound dumbbells, right? And you started doing 5 sets of 10 to 12 repetitions with them every day. So you feel as though you're accomplishing something, right? Oh, I did my curls today, but they're 2-pound dumbbells. So although we feel like we're accomplishing something, since there's no progressive overload, which is what our muscles need, in order to get stronger, we have to progressively overload them, which means you start out with a 5-pound dumbbell, then you're going to a 10, you're going to a 20, and before you know it, you're curling 40s, 45, 50s, or even beyond. But if we're not giving ourselves that progressive overload, we are not taxing the body. The same thing goes in our mind. So we're not taxing our mind to solve problems, to overcome burdens or overcome obstacles. We're kind of consistently in this state of dopamine-induced motivation, but we're not acting on it. And that is the biggest problem we're running into. Because if it doesn't become more difficult, the activity itself is futile. And the same could be said about like that never-ending quest for motivation. We spend so much time trying to figure out how to get motivated to do something, we actually don't do anything. And we just keep seeking out more motivation. Because the first motivation we had was great, made us feel good, but it didn't make us take the step to actually be able to start taking action. So when you do that, you know, you find out that you wind up getting motivated to be motivated. Right? As crazy as that sounds, we've gotten to a point today where we are looking for motivation. And once we're motivated to find motivation, we just want more motivation. We don't actually want the accomplished feeling of making progress towards whatever that goal is. We're so focused on what the finish line could be, we're not thinking about how to actually get to that finish line and taking the steps that we need to take in order to get there. Because look, being motivated is the easy part. And here's what's funny. So many people get so caught up, and I hear people say this all the time, I'm just not motivated to do anything. The motivation is the easy part. And the easiest way to deal with motivation is to get rid of it and just say, no, I'm doing it. It doesn't matter whether I'm motivated or I'm not. I just have to do. Because when you do the task, that's where the difficulty comes in. When you do the task, that's when you begin to either see progress, you see failure, or you even wind up achieving your goal. You wind up getting to that finish line. But without those three important pieces of feedback, which are progress, failure, or achievement, we instantly want to fall back on, oh, I'm just not making any progress. I need to get motivated again. So we go back to the starting line. And you know, if you're running a race, the race isn't won at the starting line. It's run through every step of the race, and you have to push all the way through to the end. But we want to fall back into being motivated instead of actually taking action. And you could look at this another way too, right? If you are surrounded every day by junk food, right? So it's just around you all the time. How motivated are you to get up, get in your car, go to the grocery store and buy healthy food and then cook healthy food and make a healthy meal? If the junk food is always around you, right, why would you not just eat that? You're probably not very motivated to get up if you're surrounded by junk food all the time. And that's because although you know the food that you're eating isn't good for you, it's satisfying your hunger, It's also satisfying, you know, possibly those dopamine cravings that you have, because if you're eating things like chocolate or salt or sugar, it's going to give you those dopamine hits as well. So we're not actually going out and doing what is going to be right and what is going to make us feel better in the long term. We're doing what we want right now, which is instant gratification. And that's why we pick up the donut if it's in the house. So here's an interesting, I guess you could say, advancement that is going on. And I don't say advancement in a good way, but we've gotten so obsessed with seeing what other people are doing, what other people are accomplishing, trying to get motivated based off of what they're accomplishing, but not actually taking the action to do the things that they did to accomplish their goal. We're getting to that point so much that companies now are investing billions and billions of dollars to, and companies, I'm talking like Microsoft, like Meta, to actually create virtual infrastructures so that people can live a virtual life outside of their own real lives. Now, I remember as a kid playing SimCity and you like created your own cities. Well, now The Sims and SimCity, it's gone to a whole new level. And when you dive in through the world of virtual reality, now it winds up affecting your senses. So it further immerses you into a world that truly doesn't exist, but a world that has things like small bounce of instant gratification. And that's the world that we live in today. We're constantly looking for that next shot of instant gratification. I do as little effort as possible and boom, I get a reward. That's the whole, you know, participation trophy thought process that we have today. And what has happened is when you, one of the key ingredients of that infrastructure is the instant gratification. Now, it has to be measured. You can't give constant instant gratification, otherwise you complete all the tasks and it's too easy. But you get these small bouts of measured instant gratification on a regular basis so that you feel like you need to go back in that virtual world. And that virtual world for some people becomes more important than the real world that is around them. But the virtual world will not be where you accomplish what you need to accomplish, at least not to your real goals in real life. But if you're accomplishing little tasks with very little effort in a virtual world, then you constantly feel like you have to go back. And if you are doing something and you suddenly find that you have to go back to it, it's something that you need all the time. You get home from work or whatever, you know, you're doing in your real life, then you can't wait to dive into a virtual world, right? That's an addiction. That's no different than a drug. You can't wait to put yourself in a different state of mind. And it's not because you are achieving things or putting in a lot of effort or taking action on the things that you need to take. It's because you're going to go and get those quick hits of dopamine, that instant gratification to try to make yourself feel better. And the moral of the story is that in a world of needing to feel good, right? If that is the case, then you need to intentionally put yourself into difficult situations. And that sounds crazy, right? I remember Tim Ferriss talking about this. He would talk about fear setting. And he would purposely, Tim Ferriss was the author of The 4-Hour Workweek, amongst other books. But I remember him talking about how he would do fear setting. He would put himself in situations that were honestly very uncomfortable. Like in a busy street in the middle of New York, he'd lie down face up in the middle of the street just to see how people reacted, just to see if he could control his own fear when he did that. So while I'm not telling you to lie down in the middle of a New York City street today or sidewalk, especially these days with all the chaos going on, I am telling you that you do need to put yourself in difficult situations. But what I mean by difficult situations are situations where you have to overcome obstacles, you have to overcome barriers in order to get to a place where you want to be, which is ultimately the finish line of your goal. You need to embrace the difficult. You have to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because then you're not going to seek that short bout of dopamine-induced bliss. Instead, you're going to see, you want to see that feeling of achievement. You want to feel achievement because of the effort that you put in. It's like, you know, running a race. Imagine if you the gun went off at the finish line, and as soon as the gun went off, 5 minutes later, without you ever taking a step, the guy who was leading the race walks right up to you, hands you a gold medal, and says, congratulations. Would that gold medal really mean anything to you? Probably not. Probably not. So you have to get those good feelings due to achievement, not due to instant gratification. And one of the things you really have to think about is you need to kind of imagine yourself being a piece of clay, and you're trying to sculpt yourself. But before you start adding things to your life that are going to lead you further towards your goal, you need to start figuring out, what are the things in my life right now that I'm doing that are taking up time and not allowing me to reach my goal? Because I hear people say all the time, they don't have time to do whatever it is, work out, eat healthy, start a business, start taking action on what they learned, whatever it may be. So they say all these things, but if you truly don't have time, then you need to figure out, what is taking up my time? And you have to almost do like a time audit on yourself. When I get home from work, what am I doing? Am I sitting in front of a television? Am I scrolling on Instagram all day long? Or am I recording another podcast episode and preparing my reels for the week and working on my next book? Like, what are you doing? You have to look how you're using up that time. But when you're stuck in a situation where you realize, okay, you know what? I watch a lot of Netflix. Constantly scrolling on Instagram. Then you have to remove those things. Look, the fastest way to stop binging on Netflix, cancel your membership. Really not that difficult. The fastest way to stop scrolling for hours on Instagram, delete it off of your phone, right? It's not that hard to do. The fastest way to stop eating dopamine-producing high-sugar junk food is stop buying it. Don't have it in your house. I went through that years ago with soda, because there was a time when I was a soda junkie. If there was a 2-liter bottle of soda in my house, I could drink the entire bottle in a day and not even think twice. It was that simple. The only way for me to not do that was to eliminate the soda. But then when I did that, I was craving something to drink that would kind of fulfill my soda craving without all the empty calories, without the sugar, without the chemicals. And I wound up switching to seltzer. And I hated seltzer as a kid. But seltzer literally broke what I would call my addiction to soda. And now I take a sip of Coke and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. It's disgusting. And I don't want anything to do with it. But I had to replace what I took away with something. I couldn't just add seltzer. I would have just kept drinking soda. And if you find that, you know, you can't begin your day without a dopamine-producing activity that is very short-lived and non-productive, what if you viewed it as an addiction? Now, let me be very clear. I am not a clinician, I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not trying to diagnose you. But if you want to diagnose your own activities, or at least look at your own activities that are hindering you from what you want, you need to do that. Plus, if you're a parent or a teacher or a coach, these activities, whatever you're doing, are going to be mirrored by our kids, by our students, by our athletes, because they are watching everything that we do. And then deciding, oh, that looks like easy. That's something he does all the time. I can use my phone all the time because mom's on it, or dad's on it, or my teacher's on it during class, whatever it may be. But look, in order to truly embrace the difficult, I want you to think about assessing your standards. What is an acceptable standard for you in a variety of different worlds? So from a fitness standpoint, what is an acceptable standard for you? For some people, it may be, I'm finally going to commit to working out 2 days a week and I'm going to hit 5,000 to 10,000 steps every day. For other people, maybe that standard is, I'm going to work out 6 times a week and I'm going to make sure I get 15,000 steps every day. Look at your standards. But if your standards that you currently have, whether it's for fitness, whether it's for nutrition, whatever it is, aren't leading you closer to your goal, then you need to truly reevaluate that standard and make the adjustments that will make it more difficult and push you into growth. Same thing with nutrition. What are your standards for nutrition? If your current standards are causing you to gain weight when you want to lose it and you feel bloated and it's always causing you to deal with sugar spikes and crashes, it's time to reassess what your standards are for nutrition.
And look, yes, that may be more difficult, right? Because now you need healthier food. You need more food prep time. You need planning when you go to the grocery store. But this is the difficult. You need to embrace the difficult because that long-term goal that you have cannot be achieved with short-term instant gratification. It's just not going to happen. And probably the most important standard that you really need to look at in your life is how you're spending your time. Look, you see these people, and I'm going to use a totally like far-off-fetched one, but look at Elon Musk, right? The guy works like 18 to 20 hours a day, every day. And people are like, oh, he's crazy, but he's also the richest man in the world. So is there a correlation between the amount of time that he works? He's not sitting at home playing Fortnite all day long. It just doesn't work like that. He didn't achieve what he has achieved because of that. He hasn't had several multi-billion dollar companies because he's not properly utilizing his time. He is making the most of every single 24 hours every single day. And while society has become obsessed with convincing us that we need to maximize our leisure time so that we can take care of ourselves, right? That doesn't mean you do nothing. That means that you take that leisure time that you have to make yourself better, to change your situation, not to just do nothing and kind of wallow and rot in bed. It doesn't work that way. Because this, you know, idea of, you know, taking time for ourselves or maximizing our leisure time, that is an attempt of convincing us to, you know, really, they want to maintain our attention. If we're out prepping food and we're out working out hard for an hour each day, you know what we're not doing during those time frames? We're not scrolling on Instagram. We're not on Netflix. We're not watching the ads that are popping up that are causing us to spend money. And in the end, our most precious resource today is attention. So that's what companies want from us. So we have to learn how to manage and how to really control our own attention. Are we letting someone else suck our attention away, which means it's sucking away our time each day? Or are we keeping our attention in check so that our attention is about focusing, is focused about really hitting that finish line that we are fighting for? And maybe that finish line is a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years down the road. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how far away it is. What attention is required from you in order to get to that finish line? So don't fall into the attention trap. Look at how you're using your time. If you have Netflix, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or other forms of, you know, what I call digital drugs, know that you may actually be taking part of something called polytechnology addiction, right? You may have heard of polysubstance addiction before, right? Polysubstance addiction is, or polysubstance abuse is when someone is taking more than one illicit drug. So they start out with one, then they start adding another, and they start adding another. And before you know it, they're doing multiple drugs at the same time in order to get the high that they need. All of those pieces of social media, all those social media companies produce the same neurotransmitters in your brain as those drugs do, to a different degree, but they produce the same neurotransmitters. So you really have to look to say, okay, so if I take Instagram off my phone because I'm scrolling on Instagram too much, am I just diverting my attention to Facebook or TikTok or YouTube? What am I doing? Am I staying on the attention path that I need to be on in order to reach my goal? Or am I all over the place and just switching whatever that dopamine-inducing application is? You really have to think about that. And look, if you really want to make progress in your life, don't just think about the things you need to add. Always go back, be that sculptor that I talked about before. Sculptors just don't continue to add clay. They cut clay away. So what parts of your day, what parts of your life, what parts of your attention do you need to start carving away in your day to be able to do the things that are actually going to take you forward? Because once you take the things away that are consuming your time in a day, you now have the time to do the things that you need to do to make progress for your goals. And while doing so may be difficult, that's what makes it important. Embrace the difficult and win life. Hey, everybody. I hope you like this episode. If you want a daily dose of motivation to try to lead you on the right path and keep you moving, check out my Instagram Reels. I release one almost every day. My Instagram account is Mike Fancher Official. Check it out. And I hope to be able to take you closer and closer to that finish line for whatever goal you're trying to achieve. So I hope you guys enjoyed this today. And until next time.